Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Right now at noon, new information about the five people found shot to death inside a house in Sampson County. What the sheriff is now telling us about the home where it happened.
Also, an intensive manhunt is still underway for the man in yesterday's shooting rampage that left at least 18 people dead in Lewiston, Maine. What we've learned today about the person police say is behind this latest mass shooting. And our temperatures are warming up in the mid-70s now, but we're likely to be well above normal into the record territory over the weekend. I'll show you the weather pattern and how it will change next week.
Good Thursday afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. It is a busy day here at WREL, where we are tracking several shootings at home and away. Right now, local and federal officials are searching for this man who's considered armed and dangerous after a mass shooting in Maine. And here at home, deputies in Sampson County are investigating three different crime scenes that ended with seven people killed. You can see the investigations going on in and around the Clinton area. The WRO Breaking News Tracker spent the morning at the scene as deputies gathered evidence at this home off Garland Highway, just south of Clinton. That's where we find WRO's Chelsea Donovan with what she's learned. Chelsea.
Yeah, as the sheriff's office said this morning, people here in Sampson County are waking up with quite a shock this morning. A lot of tragedy, however, throughout this county. We should mention this house that you see behind me. This is where five people were found over dead here on Garland Highway with gunshot wounds. This is a home, according to the sheriff, that is a known drug house here in Sampson County. Now, let's show you some video from overnight. I spoke to the man who found the five bodies around 11:30 last night here on Garland Highway, about 15 minutes south of Clinton. He went to check on the homeowner, and that's when he says he walked in and found one man dead in a chair in the living room, another man dead on the floor, and three others in various rooms. He immediately called 911. Those that have been killed include four men and one woman, ages 30 to 80. They have various ethnic backgrounds. Deputies right now are not releasing the names of those killed.
This is not normal for our community. It's not normal for any community. And it should shock the conscience. And we hope that somebody out there who knows something.
Now, after 12 hours, deputies as well as SBI agents spent the morning here at this home on Garland Avenue gathering evidence going in and out of the home. And, of course, now you can see that that crime scene tape has been removed. This is an investigation that's certainly just in the early stages. Right now, the sheriff's office is not releasing the names of the five victims that were killed. They're still in the process of notifying next of kin and sending those bodies off to the medical examiner. Of course, right now, the main question is who is responsible for these five deaths. Right now, the sheriff's office says they have no suspect or person of interest at this time. So it's very active here. And of course, we'll bring you the latest updates throughout the evening and on WRAL.com.
We know you will. Chelsea Donovan, live in Sampson County.
And breaking here in the WRAL Live Center, just before we came on the air, in just the last 15 minutes, we learned there's a fourth crime scene in Sampson County. Let's go right to these live pictures, courtesy of Sky 5 this noon hour. You can see a heavy sheriff's presence there at the scene. We're told this is on Casper Road near Christmas Tree Road. This call came in about 10:20 this morning. You can see investigators there are working the scene. We've got calls into the Sampson County Sheriff's Office to determine exactly what's going on. As soon as we get any information about this crime scene right now on Casper Road near Christmas Tree Road, we'll definitely update you here in the WRAL Live Center.
Thanks, Ken. At an unrelated scene in Clinton, again, multiple police officers are on leave after fatally shooting a man who police say pointed a handgun at officers. This one happened on Dogwood Circle just before 2 a.m. WRAL's Keenan Willard is there now with the questions we are asking investigators today. Keenan.
Well, you can see this is still one of these ongoing scenes in Sampson County here on Dogwood Circle in Clinton right behind me. This is ongoing and taped off because the FBI is on scene going in and out of that unit where this fatal shooting happened involving multiple officers and that suspect accused of an assault. Now, everything that happened up to this point, you can see some of the scene video that we've taken here, some of the evidence markers on the ground, the crime scene taping off this area. Clinton police say around 1 o'clock in the morning, they were called out here to Dogwood Circle for a woman reporting an assault. She said that a man had used a handgun to hit her multiple times in the face and head. Clinton police officers went inside of the home at around 1:40. They found the suspect hiding in a closet. Now, police say that the man pointed a handgun at officers, and that's when multiple officers fired, shooting and killing that man inside of the home. He died at the scene, and at this point, the investigation has been underway since that time, just before 2 o'clock in the morning, involving the Clinton Police Department's internal affairs unit investigating. They've also brought in the FBI per their policy whenever there is an officer-involved shooting. They have not released the names of the officers involved or the man, the suspect, who was killed at this scene, pending notification of family members. That's some information that we are waiting to get from Clinton police in the hours ahead. One piece of information we are pushing for from the department, though, whether the officers involved at this scene were wearing body cameras, and if the Clinton Police Department would make that footage public or push to have a judge allow for it to become public. I spoke with the assistant police chief at the scene here and asked him those details and those questions. He said he couldn't go into specifics at this time, but in general, the Clinton Police Department and officers do have body-worn cameras. So that's a piece of information we are going to push for in the hours to come. We're staying on top of this developing information, investigation, getting information from the FBI and Clinton police in the hours to come. Jeff.
There's a lot of violence and a lot of questions unanswered there in Clinton. Keenan Willard live for us this noon. Keenan, thanks.
The other big story, we're following this noon hour here in the WREL Live Center. Within the last hour, Maine officials gave an update on that mass shooting that happened in a small community of Lewiston last night. Take a look at your screen. This is an all-out manhunt for this guy, 40-year-old Robert Card. He's approximately, they've gave a description of him. He has approximately 20 years of military service. Authorities say he is a firearms instructor and was recently treated at a mental health facility after making threats to shoot up a military training facility. Here's what we know about the dead and injured. Armed with an AR-style rifle, police say Card is accused of going into a bar and a bowling alley. Seven people at the bowling alley died. Eight people at the bar were killed. Now, three of the 18 people who lost their life died after being transported to the hospital. The medical examiner with the Maine Central Medical Center also said 13 people remain in the hospital. Three are in critical condition. Again, an all-out manhunt is underway for 40-year-old Robert Card in and around Lewiston, Maine. Schools, businesses, municipal offices, they're all closed as a result of this ongoing manhunt. We will continue to monitor this story for any new developments and bring you any updates here in the WREL Lab Center.
We'll get you an update now on the war in the Middle East, where Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says his country is preparing for a ground invasion into Gaza. Last night, Israel conducted a targeted raid, striking about 250 targets. The UN also warns it is nearly out of fuel in the Gaza Strip, which means it will have to cut relief efforts there. The Israeli army now says 224 people are believed to be held hostage in Gaza.
The Pentagon says it's sending Patriot missile units to the Middle East because of attacks on U.S. forces in Iraq and Syria. Some of those missiles will come from Fort Liberty. Military leaders at Fort Liberty are being very tight-lipped about the deployment. The Pentagon is saying the units are being sent in response to 13 attacks at U.S. bases in the northern and western parts of Iraq and attacks in Syria. Those attacks happened in the past week. The Pentagon is sending Patriot missile units from Fort Liberty and Fort Sill in Oklahoma. The missile system has been around since the late 1970s, but Fort Liberty didn't get theirs until 2006. It was first used in combat during the first Gulf War. The Patriot is the U.S. Army's most advanced air defense system. It's capable of defeating both high-performance aircraft and tactical ballistic missiles. It's the only operational air defense system that can shoot down attacking missiles. Our Gilbert Bays spoke with Colonel Mary Ricks, Fort Liberty's Director of Public Affairs, just a few hours ago.
So, Gilbert, I can confirm that we have soldiers deploying within the U.S. Central Command's area of responsibility from Fort Liberty. But due to operational security, no further details are available at this time. But I can tell you that our units are trained and ready to support global response at any time and anywhere.
And sources close to the deployment say the troops have been on rapid deployment alert for more than a week. That's a little higher level of readiness for most units at Fort Liberty.
Temperatures are a little warmer this afternoon, and we are still likely to see record highs this weekend. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a look at which days will be the hottest and when temperatures crash again.
Yeah, it's going to be a bit of a roller coaster ride for us. We take a look outside. Now this is a live look at Fayetteville, looking absolutely beautiful with blue sky and just a couple of little puffy cumulus clouds. You're going to see a few of those around the area. It's a touch more humid than it was the last several days. All that means is our daytime heating will create a few of those puffy cumulus clouds today. We'll see a high of 80 degrees in Raleigh, 79 in Durham, and 83 in Fayetteville. We have warm air sitting across the middle of the country. The darker colors signify temperatures well above normal. That slips in here over the weekend. But right behind it, those blue and purple colors signify temperatures well below normal. And we're going to see that front moving through early next week and changing everything for us. We're not likely to see a record high tomorrow. There's about 5 degrees between the actual forecast and the record. But we could tie the record Saturday at 86, and we could break it easily on Sunday with a high of 85, with the record being 83. Coming up, we're going to walk through and talk about the timeline for that front, when we see the colder air, and how it could affect your Halloween.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Also, all new at noon, we are hearing from a familiar voice urging you to protect yourself against serious illness this winter. WRL's Brian Schrader is here with the importance of staying up to date on your vaccinations and the new shot doctors are offering, Brian.
Jeff, if you were here during the pandemic, you probably remember Dr. Mandy Cohen. She was the director of the State Department of Health and Human Services at the time, and she helped lead North Carolina's response to COVID. But now Dr. Cohen is the head of the CDC, and she is reminding people that it's time to get the shots to protect yourself from becoming seriously ill with flu and COVID-19. You are able to get both shots at the same time. You know, the flu mutates every year, so you do need to get that new shot every flu season. And this morning, Dr. Cohen told me that even if you've had previous COVID boosters or COVID itself, you do need to get that newly updated booster.
The virus has changed, right? And you want to have the best protection matched to how the virus has changed right now. And second, that protection we got from the vaccine is decreasing over time. So you want to boost yourself back up to the most protection you possibly can.
Now, there is another serious respiratory virus you need to know about, RSV. Yesterday, we reported a sharp rise in cases across North Carolina. People 60 and older and certain pregnant women can talk with their doctor to get an RSV vaccine. And this year, there is also RSV antibody protection for infants. So be sure to check with your pediatrician. I also talked with Dr. Cohen about her new role there. She says she misses North Carolina, but her new work at the CDC is rewarding, Jeff.
Important work. All right, Brian, thank you. 700,000 state employees and their families may soon lose coverage of popular weight loss drugs on their health plans. State health plan leaders are meeting this afternoon to vote on whether to cover drugs like Ozempic and Wegovy. Staff recommend changes to citing cost concerns in this, and those costs went from $3 million 2 years ago, $14 million this year. More than 20,000 plan members use the drugs. Teachers, state employees, retirees, and their families are all under this health plan. That meeting starts at 1:30 this afternoon.
Raleigh has a new advocacy center for child abuse prevention and intervention services. The nonprofit organization Safe Child hosted a ribbon cutting ceremony for its new facility on Kidd Road. The organization says the new building will help it serve more children and families with education and support programs. Safe Child's executive director says the expanded facility will help it better coordinate its efforts.
When we didn't know what to do, there's no book on what to do when something like that happens to your child. But Safe Child was here for us.
Safe Child expects to serve 1,200 children and more than 30,000 families each year in this new facility.
Next at noon, a new Speaker of the House is in place, and it's back to work. The first order of business for Speaker Mike Johnson.
Also, our first look at what Hurricane Otis left behind in Acapulco, Mexico. The horrific and deadly devastation.
Plus, don't lose your bags. Digital tracking is a new Southwest Airlines feature. How to follow them on your trip.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
One day after voting in a new Speaker of the House, lawmakers returned their attention to spending bills. NBC's Ryan Nobles reports on Representative Mike Johnson elected as new House Speaker.
It took four tries, but House Republicans finally elected a Speaker of the House.
The Speaker-elect, Mike Johnson from the state of Louisiana.
Louisiana's Mike Johnson was the last man standing, cobbling together the support from a fatigued conference to win the vote unanimously and then promising to get right to work.
The challenge before us is great, but the time for action is now.
Johnson has a long list of work ahead of him. The government will run out of money in mid-November. Aid packages to Ukraine and Israel are on the table, as well as the approval of the Farm Bill and the reauthorization of the FAA. Much of this will require bipartisan support, something Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer made clear.
I hope and look forward to working with him in a bipartisan way. I hope he will.
But Johnson has not been much of a bipartisan politician. He holds conservative views on abortion, gay rights, and gun control. And he was a leading voice in Republican efforts to overturn the 2020 election, and even played into conspiracy theories about voting machines being tampered with, which were widely discredited.
There's a lot of merit to that. And when the president says the election is rigged, that's what he's talking about, that it was the fix was in.
President Biden brushed off concerns Johnson could stand in the way of certifying the next election.
Just like I was not worried that the last guy would be able to overturn the election.
It's a position Biden's fellow Democrats view as disqualifying, but Republicans embraced, shouting down reporter attempts to question Johnson on the topic. Now, Johnson will take on the difficult task of managing a divided party at a time when there is so much to get done.
That was Ryan Nobles reporting. A Senate finance report reveals Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas did not pay back a loan for an RV he bought in 1999, and he did not report the forgiven debt on his financial disclosure report. The committee says the report raises a number of potentially serious tax questions. Newly released documents revealed Thomas borrowed $267,000 from a friend and paid some interest on the loan before it was forgiven. A loan agreement was first reported this year in August. The committee notes additional documents on the agreement may exist.
China's youngest ever astronaut crew is headed to the International Space Station. Three Chinese astronauts lifted off today, and the average age of the astronauts is 38. The trio will conduct experiments on space medicine and technology during their mission. China plans to land astronauts on the moon by 2030. We're getting a bird's eye view of the devastation Hurricane Otis caused in Mexico. The Category 5 storm is blamed for at least 27 deaths. This was the strongest storm on record to hit the country's Pacific coast. More than 500,000 homes and businesses lost power at the height of the storm. About 40% of those outages have been restored. Mexican National Guard personnel are working to clear stranded vehicles, down trees, and other debris. And this was the storm that escalated quickly from the tropical storm to a Cat 5 in less than 24 hours.
Yeah, caught everybody off guard there for certain and left a mark behind it for sure as it weakened moving inland. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center right now. Beautiful look. It's great all around our area today. Blue skies.
Nice and quiet for us with temperatures above normal, but we're not to records yet. So one of those days, it's just nice to get outside and enjoy. What a great place to do that. My wasp friend is up there enjoying this view of Southern Pines from, of course, Longleaf Golf and Family Club. I see folks out there on the green right over there by the clubhouse. Just a gorgeous, gorgeous blue sky. 74 is our official temperature at RDU. Our dew point is at 60. That has been climbing. climbing. So it's a little bit more muggy. I mean, I say muggy. It's not going to feel like July or August, but there's more moisture in the atmosphere than there has been over the last several days. And that may lead us to some fog tomorrow morning as our temperatures start to drop. With more moisture in the atmosphere, we could have more widespread fog than we did this morning. Looking at 80 degrees this afternoon, 74 in Durham now, 75 in Fayetteville and Goldsboro, 72 in Roxboro, 73 over there in Southern Pines. I mean, that is a perfect temperature to be outside. Our 24-hour temperature change, just maybe 1 to 5 degrees warmer than it was this time yesterday. Not a big change for the afternoon. 80 in Raleigh, 79 in Durham, and 83 in Fayetteville. Take another look at this. This is such a big change that's going to be coming our way. The yellow color contours are where temperatures are about 10 degrees above normal. We're looking at 15 degrees above normal by the weekend. That's when we're going to be close to those record highs. But boy, that chilly air comes pushing in behind a front. That front could affect us during Halloween. It may be Tuesday that front moves through. Right now, it looks like there may not be a lot of rain with that front, but it'll be breezy and there'll be a quick drop in our temperature behind it. But again, we have record temperatures heading our way before that. Not so much tomorrow. Tomorrow's high 82. The record is 87. But we can tie the record on Saturday at 86 and break it at 85 on Sunday, since the record was 83, set back in 1950. So that was an old one. We take a look at our hurricanes forecast for this afternoon. Their evening temperature game starts at 7 o'clock. If you're headed out to tailgate in the parking lot, temperatures will be in the 70s. It should feel really nice. Same thing again on Friday. We'll just copy and paste. South Carolina State plays at NC Central tonight at 7:30. Game time temperature right about 70, falling through the 60s. A very comfortable night for football, and another nice night for football on Friday. Football Friday may start a little bit on the warm side. Once the games get kicked in, though, temperatures should be falling from the mid-70s on down into the upper 60s by the end of the game. Here's our front. Of course, we talked about the temperatures with this very warm here. It's really chilly here. And then here's the boundary. We do have some rain falling right now. Monday, 83, Halloween for the high temperature, not the low, the high of 59. So big drop there just in one day. For trick-or-treat time, most likely temperatures will be in the mid-50s. It may be a bit breezy with that front coming through, but right now it doesn't look like there'll be a lot of rain. Coming up in 30 minutes, I'm going to walk you through Futurecast, and we'll talk about some of the scenarios with that front coming through and why it may not be that wet. It's going to stay chilly next week, Wednesday at 55, and there's potentially a good chance of frost later next week.
But what a heat wave before that in the fall. Yeah. Testers dropped and dunked cell phones to figure out which ones can handle the most wear and tear. Today at 4, 5 on Your Side shows you which phones held up the best.
Kind of fun job, right? 50 years, the crisis unit in Chapel Hill Police Department has been helping officers respond to mental health crisis calls. At 5:30, Shelly Jackson looks at what makes that program so successful. And still ahead this noon, Airbnb is tapping into technology to prevent illegal parties at its rentals. The signs the new system will use to eliminate the nuisance.
And chocolate lovers rejoice. Sunday is National Chocolate Day. Find out which type officer offers health benefits and which are mostly wax. Severe burns are being blamed on a faulty pressure cooker now under recall. Five on Your Side says, according to the recall, the markings of the inner pot of this Insignia pressure cooker are wrong, and that can cause people to unknowingly overfill the pots, and hot food and liquid can shoot out of it when opened. These were sold at Best Buy and on Amazon. Best Buy will replace the faulty parts for you. Passengers who fly Southwest Airlines can now track their bags through the carrier. A new digital tracking service confirms when tags are printed and then when bags are loaded and unloaded from the plane. Experts have recommended travelers use electronic tracking devices in their bags to make it easier to find lost baggage.
The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau says Americans paid $105 billion in credit card interest last year. The report also revealed Americans paid $25 billion in fees. As borrowing costs hit record highs, the Federal Bureau warns nearly a tenth of credit card users end up in persistent debt. That's when they are charged more in interest and fees than they pay towards the principal. Airbnb using artificial intelligence to crack down on disruptive and unauthorized Halloween parties this weekend. The company says its state-of-the-art system works to prevent certain potentially higher-risk one- and two-night whole-home bookings. The AI-driven system looks at signs that could indicate a higher risk for a disruptive or unauthorized party. That includes trip length, the distance to the home, and whether the booking is last minute. President Biden orders the flags over the White House to be flown at half staff following a deadly mass shooting in Maine. An update on a person of interest in this case.
Plus, the makers of a new Alzheimer's drug say the treatment could be given as a shot instead of an IV infusion. What a new study revealed about this treatment. First, here's a look at your winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
A manhunt is underway for a gunman. Police say opened fire at a bar and bowling alley in Lewiston, Maine. Officers say between 15 and 20 people are dead and as many as 50 may be injured.
Robert Card is being named a person of interest in this case in connection with the shootings. And NBC's Sam Brock is in Lewiston, where federal and state authorities are combing that area.
At this very moment, communities here in central Maine are under shelter-in-place orders. That includes Lewiston, where I'm standing, Lisbon, where that vehicle was identified late last night, as well as the towns of Auburn and now Bowdoin, which was added this morning, a town of about 3,000 or 4,000 people. All of them are under right now shelter-in-place, stay-in-your-home orders as this manhunt continues in chaotic fashion. Now, right now, you look over my shoulder, you see law enforcement presence right here blocking off access. Down this hill, there's a white sign at the very bottom. That is Schmangi's Bar and Sports Grill. Schmangi's is where one of the two killings occurred yesterday around 7 o'clock last night, Eastern Standard. There are two locations that we know of where someone came in, a man, and shot and killed between 15 and 20 people. That information, that exact number is still being verified, as well as up to 50 others who were injured. The two locations, a bowling alley and that bar, are about 4 to 5 miles apart. Now, the chronology itself, not exactly clear at this point, but what we do know is that law enforcement right now is searching for a man by the name of Robert Card. He is considered a person of interest. That is important. Police have not called him a suspect as of yet. However, they are definitely searching for him as the suspect in this case, whom we have seen. That image of someone with a semi-automatic rifle walking into a bowling alley, gunned people down during teen night at the bowling alley. They were, according to the mayor of Auburn, playing cornhole in the bar down the street there. Just normal daily activities, lives that were interrupted and now changed forever as a result of what happened last night. According to Maine State Police, and we have presence here right now from the FBI, local, state, and federal law enforcement, Maine State Police says there's roughly 100 investigators out right now searching for Card. The last known indication we have that they found anything connected to him was last night when they located his car in nearby Lisbon, but nothing since then. We are expecting momentarily an update from law enforcement as to where things stand. Not clear how much information they're going to divulge, but perhaps it is best summed up by the owners and representation of Schmangi's, who posted on Facebook this morning that their hearts are broken, that they are crushed, that this makes absolutely no sense to anyone. And of course, their lives changed for generations to come. Here in Lewiston, Sam Brock, NBC News.
And we are following more breaking news here locally out of Sampson County. All morning we've been reporting on several crime scenes. The fourth crime scene that we found out about just before we came on the air about a half hour ago, again happening in Sampson County. This is new video courtesy of Sky 5 into a newsroom. We've learned in the last 15, 20 minutes that this is in fact a shooting that happened on Christmas Tree Road and Casper Road. This call came in around 10:20 this morning. Again, you see a heavy Sampson County Sheriff. Deputies on the scene right there. We know that one man was shot, and this continues to be a shooting investigation there in Sampson County. This was the fourth crime scene reported in Sampson County all morning since we've been on the air. We will continue to follow all four crime scene stories and bring you any updates starting at 4 right here on WRAL.
Ken, thanks. And yeah, one of four in Sampson County, and deputies spent hours at three other locations overnight and in the early morning hours. You can see several investigations going on in the Clinton area. A man was stabbed to death on Leaf Lane. Another was shot by an officer on Dogwood Circle. And five people were killed in a home off Garland Highway. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan with what she's learned in the past 30 minutes. Chelsea.
So after 12 hours, FBI agents and Sampson County deputies have finally left the scene. The crime scene tape has come down. This is the home here on Garland Highway. We're about 15 minutes south of Clinton, where four men and one woman were found dead inside just before midnight, all with gunshot wounds, according to the sheriff's office. It's not known at the time the relationships of the victims, but I just got done speaking to the cousin of one of the men who died inside. And as you can imagine, he's just trying to come to grips with this shocking situation. Now, also, WREL spoke to the man who found the five bodies around 11:30 last night here on Garland Highway. He went to check on the homeowner, and that's when he said he walked in and found one man dead in a chair, another man dead on the floor, and three others in various rooms. He immediately called 911. We should mention those have been killed, the four men and the one woman, ranging in age from 30 to 80. Now, the sheriff's office, as you can imagine, still in the early stages of this investigation, working right now to notify next of kin. Right now, they have no information on a suspect or a person of interest in this case, Jeff.
Terrible violence in Clinton. Chelsea Donovan reported live for us this noon. Chelsea, thank you.
And we continue to follow even more economic news here in the WRL Live Center. A major economic development story happening. A global provider of synthetic graphite used in electric vehicles will be building its first U.S. plant in Brunswick County. WRL's Matt Talham is working this story, and this is an interview you will see only on WRL. Take a listen.
Brunswick.
Those incentives to making that final decision from 100 to 7 to this one?
I think the incentives were important, and we worked, I think, very transparently with them to see what is needed to make our project really viable. And the state, the county, were all very supportive, and the different government entities as well, on what they can help us with.
I want to take you right now live to the announcement that's happening. Governor Cooper is there. This is an Indian-based company. It will invest more than $650 million in the Mid-Atlantic Rail Industrial Park there in Brunswick County. Again, all Matt Talham is working this story. Look for new reporting on this announcement starting at 4 right here on WRAL.
Ken, thanks. Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Wayne and Cumberland counties. Some young adults will be able to get their high school diplomas online for free. Anyone between the ages of 18 and 24 who lives in Halifax, Hertford, Northampton, or Wayne counties can apply. The online self-paced program is offered through Excel Adult High School. Students accepted to the program will receive a success coach as well. Fun for the whole family in Fayetteville. A Chuck E. Cheese is reopening today. This newly renovated location on North McPherson Church Road will be unveiled today from 5 to 7. The first 25 families in line will get an hour of free games and a trunk or treat event. New to this location is the first Chuck E. Cheese trampoline zone in the state and an interactive dance floor.
An encouraging update on the shot clinically shown to slow the progression of Alzheimer's. How soon you may be able to get that shot at home.
Plus, generally getting your COVID and flu shot is fine. The one age group that might do better, getting them separately. Our team is working to bring you exclusive stories for coverage you'll find only on WRL. Go to WRL.com and search only. With temperatures heading into the 80s this week, you may want to find a place to cool off, and maybe suggest White Lake in Bladen County, southeast of Fayetteville. So beautiful there with those white puffy clouds. You're watching WRL News, available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device.
The makers of the first medicine proven to slow the course of Alzheimer's is working on a faster, more convenient way to administer the drug. The makers of the drug Leqembi say that the drug could be given as two weekly shots at home. The drug is currently given once every 2 weeks through an IV. Research shows the set of two shots given once weekly produced similar results after 6 months compared to the IV infusions. The drug maker plans to file for FDA approval of the weekly shots next year. More than 180,000 people in North Carolina are living with Alzheimer's disease, and twice as many families and friends are providing care. The global organization is working hard to provide support and funding for research. And this weekend, the Alzheimer's Association will host a walk to end Alzheimer's in Fayetteville. WRL is a proud community partner. The walk to end Alzheimer's takes place this Saturday at Segra Stadium. Check-in opens at 9 a.m. The opening ceremony is at 10, and the walk starts at 10:30. WRL's Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays will serve as MC.
Flu and COVID-19 vaccines may slightly increase the risk of stroke in seniors caused by blood clots in the brain, in particular when the two shots were given at the same time. FDA researchers analyzed data from Medicare claims and found the increase happened in adults who are 85 years old and older. This is the second study to find that COVID-19 and flu shots given together put some seniors at a higher risk for stroke. Researchers suggest getting the shots at different times. A little dark chocolate can go a long way. Dark chocolates have high levels of flavonoids, which contain antiviral, antioxidant, anti-inflammatory properties. All you need is one 3 times a week. That's less than 2 regular sized candy bars. Just in case you were wondering, you won't see the same benefits with white chocolate. That's because it's more of a wax and tends to have the most sugar and fat.
Mr. Game 7 is known for his clutch plays with the Carolina Hurricanes, and now Justin Williams will forever be cemented in the club's history.
And happening now in the WREL Live Center, the official filing period hasn't even begun, but the political campaign season has started. Within the last 20 minutes, WREL has learned that Raleigh City Councilman Corey Branch is in fact running for mayor in 2024. He made the announcement within the last half hour or so. Corey Branch represents District C. He announced the announcement on a number of platforms, including Instagram, that's running a video of him. Now, we also talked to the mayor recently, and she, Mayor Baldwin, she intends to run for re-election next year. So again, the first salvo in the mayoral race for Raleigh being leveled right now. Corey Branch, councilman from District C, planning to run for mayor next year.
A new WRL documentary explores the complicated history of football stadiums in the Carolinas. Ghosts in the Stadium premiered last night on WRL. WRL investigative documentary reporter Kristen Severance and WRL sports anchor Chris Lee uncovered who those stadiums were named after and what communities were replaced by them. They found at least 2 stadiums were built on or near the unmarked graves of formerly enslaved people. It's a powerful look at the unknown historical events that happened at these stadiums and the effects still being felt today. You can watch Ghosts in the Stadium right now by going to WRLDocumentary.com or on the WRL app.
Former Carolina Hurricane Justin Williams will become the 5th player inducted in the Hurricanes Hall of Fame. His nickname, Mr. Game 7. He had 316 career points as a Cane and won the Stanley Cup with the franchise in 2006, which went into a Game 7. He'll be honored at PNC Arena against the Kings on Monday, January 15th. The World Series gets started tomorrow night on Fox 50. The Arizona Diamondbacks and Texas Rangers are squaring off for baseball's biggest prize. Game 1 will get started at 8 tomorrow night. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is tracking our beautiful weather all across the viewing area. Pretty blue skies, and it's getting warm out there.
It's awfully nice out there. Looking at temperatures right now in the mid to upper 70s, heading on up to 80 degrees for our high this afternoon. Beautiful sunshine there in Goldsboro. We have sunshine in Fayetteville as we're taking a look at our newsroom there. Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant and Apex here, looking beautiful everywhere. Just a few puffy cumulus clouds out there. Our pattern really is unchanged all week. We have a high pressure system sitting here. It began to hang out, took up shop here with us over the weekend, and it's helping to keep this front back to the west. So we have this steady flow of rain from Texas all the way up into the Great Lakes in the same spot because this front is stationary. High pressure systems often work as blockers, and it's blocking the system from coming our way. But eventually the pattern will begin to move again. The high will shift eastward, warming us up this weekend with a southerly flow into the mid 80s, followed by our front that's going to bring some really chilly air. Look at that. There's snow back there across parts of the Northwest. We'll potentially have some rain with this, but it looks like the amounts right now would be light. Before that front gets here, we're looking at warm temperatures. How about your haunted house planner for For Saturday. You know, a lot of the haunted houses these days are like, you know, just you go out and run through the woods and people jump out at you. It's going to be a full moon on Saturday night, so that could be extra spooky. 6 o'clock temperature at around 80 degrees, but of course it doesn't get dark until around 7 or 8, and at that point temperatures are dropping down into the 70s. Should be really comfortable. Here's a look at that front that we've been tracking with all the rain back to our west. You can see it stays well to our west Saturday and Sunday. We'll roll it on ahead to Tuesday at 8 a.m., and you can see that it's all quiet at that point. At 6 p.m. Tuesday, we're not seeing any rain. And at 10 p.m. Tuesday, no rain. This version of Futurecast shows some rain for us Wednesday morning. That's really the worst case scenario of the several models that we tend to look at, especially the long range models. The other model has really no rain at all, even on Wednesday. So still things a little bit up in the air. The cold front will approach. It will move through. Whether or not we see any rain is still uncertain and what the timing of that would be, but we're definitely trending drier. Our temperatures will fall with this front. The big question is when, most likely during the day on Tuesday. So we'll start to see the temperatures dropping into the 50s during the day on Tuesday. How much rain? Again, right now we're trending drier, so it's likely to be a quarter of an inch or less for now. And this will likely change. Of course, today's Thursday and we're talking about Tuesday. A lot more runs of the computer models to look at before we actually get to trick-or-treat time. But going with 55 degrees right now, temperatures falling through the day, a little bit breezy, but right now, we're going rain-free. We take a look at post-tropical cyclone Tammy. Still has winds at 85 miles per hour. Very interesting forecast path here. Headed toward Bermuda and then turning away. Yesterday, it was headed toward Bermuda and then maybe down to the south. But post-tropical storm means that it no longer has tropical characteristics. It does not look like it's going to affect land, except maybe just brushing by Bermuda with some heavy rain and some blustery conditions. Of course, our big story for the weekend is the warmth. Saturday 86, Sunday 85. Our overnight lows will be back into the 60s. Big changes coming for Tuesday. For Halloween, temperatures will cool off dramatically. We'll see if we have any rain. Right now, we're looking fairly dry. We have a good chance of some frost next week.
All right, Elizabeth, thanks for that. Save the drama for your llama. Look at this, where dozens of animals brought traffic to a standstill.
And here's a look at your winning Powerball numbers.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. Authorities are now investigating four separate crime scenes in Sampson County. Five people were found dead after being shot at a home. One person was killed after being stabbed. A police officer shot and killed a man after the department says he waved a gun at officers. Right now, the sheriff's office is also investigating a shooting they say happened this morning.
Right now, authorities are searching for the man they say is behind a mass shooting in Maine. Investigators say at least 18 people are dead and 13 are injured. Robert Card is facing an arrest warrant for 8 counts of murder and should be considered armed and dangerous. People in the area are advised to shelter in place.
North Carolina's booming electric vehicle sector is getting even bigger. An India-based company, Epsilon Advanced Materials, is going to build a $650 million manufacturing plant for EV battery materials near Wilmington. The company expects to hire about 500 people for the plant. WRL's Matt Tallhelm will have much more on this development today, beginning at 4 on our news. Dozens of llamas and alpacas are back in their enclosures after making a break for freedom. The herd brought traffic to a standstill in England after escaping from a nearby farm shop. The furry camelids could be seen running across the highway there. Some drivers did their best to round up the strays and guide them to safety. Staff is blaming the escape on a damaged fence.
What a crowd. Our pet of the day is a very special dog looking for a special home. So this is Slana, a 10-year-old mixed breed. She weighs about 50 pounds. Slana lost both of her eyes at different times and for different reasons. So she now lives her life as a blind dog. She relies on her other senses like hearing and smell to navigate and to find her people. SPCA Wake offers a trial option for prospective adopters so you can take her home and see how things go before making a decision about adoption. For more information, visit spcawake.org.
Coming up at 4, 5 on your side, testing phone durability. Testers dropped and dunked cell phones to figure out which ones can handle the most wear and tear, and we'll show you which phones held up the best.
NBC News Daily is next on WREL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. And have a great day.